So yes, we're finding some connections between Isaiah 42, verse 1, and Matthew 3 today. I love these connections from the what we call the Old Testament and the New Testament. I hope you do too. So the first verse of Isaiah 42, I'm just going to jump in here. It says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations." Starting in Isaiah chapter 41 and on for several chapters, there's this servant of God who we're introduced to. We're kind of like, who is the servant? We're not 100% sure. We're reading along and we learn a lot about who God is and what he wants to do by how he describes his servant. We learn that God is one who wants to accomplish his work in the world, not through a ruler, but through one who serves. God's servant is both humble and powerful at the same time. God's servant is a leader and servant of all. He's bringing justice to the nations, which is a big job, and yet he's completely gentle. So at Jesus' baptism, the voice from heaven speaks words that identify Jesus, and they're strikingly similar to Isaiah 42. The voice from heaven says, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." God says, "Jesus is my son. I love him, and I'm pleased with him." I like the way the New Living Translation puts it. "This is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy." I don't know how the word "I'm pleased with him" hits your ears, but to me, to please God sounds like to do something to make him happy or to make someone happy. If I'm pleasing someone, I'm making someone happy by something that I'm doing or not doing. But I think of how we feel when we're holding a baby, maybe even a newborn baby. We are delighted not because the baby is so accomplished and the baby can do so many amazing things. The baby can hardly do anything. The baby is a bundle of helplessness. We're delighted because of who they are. We're delighted not because of what they do. And that's that plus infinity is the love that God has for each of us, which is amazing. At Jesus' baptism, God declares that Jesus is his son. Of all the titles he could have used, he declares that he's his son and that Jesus brings him great joy. Jesus hasn't started teaching and healing people and all of that. God's love for him is based on who he is. God delights in him, takes joy in him, his son. At Jesus' baptism, we're also told that the Spirit of God descended like a dove and came to rest on Jesus. Wouldn't it have been nice to see what that was like? Servants of God, speaking broadly, servants of God do not manufacture cleverness or muster strength all on their own. Servants of God need the power and wisdom of the Spirit. That is how anyone could serve God. So from day one of his ministry, Jesus' work was identified with the Holy Spirit. Even to the point that people could see something happening, something that looked like heaven opening, something that looked like the Spirit coming down like a dove. So in this very special moment of Jesus' baptism, we've got audible words from heaven declaring Jesus' identity. And then we also have this vision of the Spirit. God is introducing his son, endorsing his son, his beloved son, Jesus. Back to Isaiah 42. We're told that God's servant will bring justice to to the nations. And both then and now, oh, how we need justice and righteousness the world over. We need God to act in decisive ways to bring His justice and righteousness to our world. But God doesn't always do justice the way we expect. He doesn't always force justice on the nations. Isaiah 42 continues. I'm going to read verses 2 and 3. Talking about God's servant. It says, He will not shout or cry out or raise His voice in the streets. A bruised reed He will not break, and a smoldering wick He will not snuff out. So yes, the mighty God will bring justice to the nations. At the same time, God's servant is gentle, even mild and meek. So just when we're starting to get a little bit excited in this passage about a revolution or a holy war, the text brings us back to God's way of doing things. Not by force, but through service. In Jesus' time, his first followers were ready for revolution. They were eager for the coming kingdom, and understandably, they were impatient to get Jesus on a throne and get rid of the Roman Empire that had caused so much heartache for them. In their eagerness for Jesus to reign, they couldn't wrap their minds around this whole servant king idea. I want to read this incident from Matthew 20. So this is later after Jesus was baptized. We've got a mother, and we've got two brothers, James and John. It says, the mother of James and John, sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. What is your request? He asked. She replied, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. Sometimes as parents, we get a little bit carried away and wanting what's best for our kids. Kind of forget about other people's kids. Sometimes we get a little hyper-focused. Continuing reading from the scriptures, that was just my little aside there. But Jesus answered by saying to them, you don't know what you were asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I am about to drink? Oh, yes, they replied. We are able. They don't know what they're saying. They have no idea what they're promising. Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. The Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. But Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus didn't deny that he was coming into God's powerful kingdom. He didn't deny that he would be the one on the throne. But he knew that this misguided mother and her sons misunderstood the nature of his kingdom and his throne. He would be a very different king. He came to serve others, even to the point of suffering and giving his life. He is a different kind of king, and his kingdom is a very different kind of kingdom, and he wants us to be different too. Flaunting authority and bossing people around, that's normal stuff. Jesus asks, who among you will serve? Who among you will serve? So our reminders for today are that God's ways are not our ways. From the day of Jesus' baptism, God showed us that his Spirit is on Jesus, and God loudly proclaimed, "Hey, everybody, look! This is my chosen servant for my very different kingdom. Look, this is my beloved Son, my joy and my delight." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for Jesus, for his life and his example, his sacrifice and his love. Thank you for your strong and also gentle presence in our lives today and for everyone who needs him. Thank you for the way, God, that you use your power for those who need it the most. Help us to serve like he served, and help us to allow you, God, to serve us and to love us and to help us. Remind us that your kingdom is not of this world, that your ways are not our ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.